who tried to have him killed. But they could not find a way to do it, because everyone else was eager to listen to him. A question about Jesus' authority. Chapter 20. One day, Jesus was teaching in the temple and telling the good news. So the chief priests, the teachers, and the nation's leaders asked him, "What right do you have to do these things? Who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I want to ask you a question. Who gave John the right to baptize? Was it God in heaven, or merely some human being?" They talked this over and said to each other, "We can't say that God gave John this right. Jesus will ask us why we didn't believe John. And we can't say that it was merely some human who gave John the right to baptize. The crowd will stone us to death because they think John was a prophet." So they told Jesus, "We don't know who gave John the right to baptize." Jesus replied, "Then I won't tell you who gave me the right to do what I do." Renters of a vineyard. Jesus told the people this story. A man once planted a vineyard and rented it out. Then he left the country for a long time. When it was time to harvest the crop, he sent a servant to ask the renters for his share of the grapes. But they beat up the servant and sent him away without anything. So the owner sent another servant. The renters also beat him up. They insulted him terribly and sent him away without a thing. The owner sent a third servant. He was also beaten terribly and thrown out of the vineyard. The owner then said to himself, "What am I going to do? I know what. I'll send my son, the one I love so much. They will surely respect him." When the renters saw the owner's son, they said to one another, "Someday he will own the vineyard. Let's kill him. Then we can have it all for ourselves." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Jesus asked, "What do you think the owner of the vineyard will do?" "I'll tell you what. He will come and kill those renters and let someone else have his vineyard." When the people heard this, they said, "This must never happen." But Jesus looked straight at them and said, "Then what do the scriptures mean when they say, 'The stone that the builders tossed aside is now the most important stone of all'? Anyone who stumbles over this stone will get hurt, and anyone it falls on will be smashed to pieces." The chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses knew that Jesus was talking about them when he was telling this story. They wanted to arrest him right then, but they were afraid of the people. Paying taxes. Jesus' enemies kept watching him closely because they wanted to hand him over to the Roman governor. So they sent some men who pretended to be good, but they were really spies trying to catch Jesus saying something wrong. The spies said to him, "Teacher, we know that you teach the truth about what God wants people to do, and you treat everyone with the same respect, no matter who they are. Tell us, should we pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Jesus knew that they were trying to trick him. So he told them, "Show me a coin." Then he asked, "Whose picture and name are on it?" "The emperor's," they answered. Then he told them, "Give the emperor what belongs to him, and give God what belongs to God." Jesus' enemies could not catch him saying anything wrong there in front of the people. They were amazed at his answer and kept quiet. Life in the future world. The Sadducees did not believe that people would rise to life after death. So some of them came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, Moses wrote that if a married man dies and has no children, his brother should marry the widow. Their first son would then be thought of as the son of the dead brother. There were once seven brothers. The first one married but died without having any children. The second one married his brother's widow, and he also died without having any children. The same thing happened to the third one. Finally, all seven brothers married that woman and died without having any children. At last, the woman died. When God raises people from death, whose wife will this woman be? All seven brothers had married her. Jesus answered, "The people in this world get married, but in the future world no one who is worthy to rise from death will either marry or die. They will be like the angels and will be God's children, because they have been raised to life." In the story about the burning bush, Moses clearly shows that people will live again. He said, "The Lord is the God worshipped by Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So the Lord isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. This means that everyone is alive as far as God is concerned. Some of the teachers of the law of Moses said, "Teacher, you have given a good answer." From then on, no one dared to ask Jesus any questions. About David's son. Jesus asked, "Why do people say that the Messiah will be the son of King David?" In the book of Psalms, David himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, 'Sit at my right side until I make your enemies into a footstool for you.'" David spoke of the Messiah as his Lord, so how can the Messiah be his son? Jesus and the teachers of the law of Moses. While everyone was listening to Jesus, he said to his disciples, "Guard against the teachers of the law of Moses. They love to walk around in long robes, and they like to be greeted in the market. They want the front seats in the meeting places and the best seats at banquets. But they cheat widows out of their homes and then pray long prayers just to show off. These teachers will be punished most of all." A Widow's Offering. Chapter 21. Jesus looked up and saw some rich people tossing their gifts into the offering box. He also saw a poor widow putting in 2 pennies, and he said, "I tell you that this poor woman has put in more than all the others. Everyone else gave what they didn't need, but she is very poor, and gave everything she had." The temple will be destroyed. Some people were talking about the beautiful stones used to build the temple and about the gifts that had been placed in it. Jesus said, "Do you see these stones? The time is coming when not one of them will be left in place. They will all be knocked down." Warning about trouble. Some people ask, "Teacher, when will all this happen? How can we know when these things are about to take place?" Jesus replied, "Don't be fooled by those who will come and claim to be me. They will say, 'I am Christ,' and 'Now is the time.' But don't follow them. When you hear about wars and riots, don't be afraid. These things will have to happen first, but that isn't the end. Nations will go to war against one another, and kingdoms will attack each other. There will be great earthquakes, and in many places people will starve to death and suffer terrible diseases. All sorts of frightening things will be seen in the sky. Before all this happens, you will be arrested and punished. You will be tried in your meeting places and put in jail. Because of me, you will be placed on trial before kings and governors. But this will be your chance to tell about your faith. Don't worry about what you will say to defend yourselves. I will give you the wisdom to know what to say. None of your enemies will be able to oppose you or to say that you are wrong. You will be betrayed by your own parents, brothers, family, and friends. Some of you will even be killed. Because of me, you will be hated by everyone. But don't worry. You will be saved by being faithful to me." Jerusalem will be destroyed. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by soldiers, you will know that it will soon be destroyed. If you are living in Judea at that time, run to the mountains. If you are in the city, leave it. And if you are out in the country, don't go back into the city. This time of punishment is what is written about in the scriptures. It will be an awful time for women who are expecting babies or nursing young children. Everywhere in the land, people will suffer horribly and be punished. Some of them will be killed by swords. Others will be carried off to foreign countries. Jerusalem will be overrun by foreign nations until their time comes to an end. When the Son of Man appears. Strange things will happen to the sun, moon, and stars. The nations on earth will be afraid of the roaring sea and tides, and they won't know what to do. People will be so frightened that they will faint because of what is happening to the world. Every power in the sky will be shaken. Then the Son of Man will be seen, coming in a cloud with great power and glory. When all of this starts happening, stand up straight and be brave. You will soon be set free. A lesson from a fig tree. Then Jesus told them a story. When you see a fig tree or any other tree putting out leaves, you know that summer will soon come. So when you see these things happening, you know that God's kingdom will soon be here. You can be sure that some of the people of this generation will still be alive when all of this takes place. The sky and the earth won't last forever, but my words will. A warning. Don't spend all of your time thinking about eating or drinking or worrying about life. If you do, the final day will suddenly catch you like a trap. That day will surprise everyone on earth. Watch out and keep praying that you can escape all that is going to happen and that the Son of Man will be pleased with you. Jesus taught in the temple each day, and he spent each night on the Mount of Olives. Everyone got up early and came to the temple to hear him teach. A plot to kill Jesus. Chapter 22. The festival of Thin Bread, also called Passover, was near. The chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses were looking for a way to get rid of Jesus, because they were afraid of what the people might do. Then Satan entered the heart of Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 apostles. Judas went to talk with the chief priests and the officers of the temple police about how he could help them arrest Jesus. They were very pleased and offered to pay Judas some money. He agreed and started looking for a good chance to betray Jesus when the crowds were not around. Jesus eats with his disciples. The day had come for the festival of Thin Bread, and it was time to kill the Passover lambs. So Jesus said to Peter and John, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us to eat." But they asked, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" Jesus told them, "As you go into the city, you will meet a man carrying a jar of water. Follow him into the house, and say to the owner, 'Our teacher wants to know where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples.' The owner will take you upstairs and show you a large room ready for you to use. Prepare the meal there." Peter and John left. They found everything just as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. The Lord's Supper. When the time came for Jesus and the apostles to eat, he said to them, "I have very much wanted to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer. I tell you that I will not eat another Passover meal until it is finally eaten in God's kingdom." Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and gave thanks to God. Then he told the apostles, "Take this wine and share it with each other. I tell you that I will not drink any more wine until God's kingdom comes." Jesus took some bread in his hands and gave thanks for it. He broke the bread and handed it to his apostles. Then he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this as a way of remembering me." After the meal, he took another cup of wine in his hands. Then he said, "This is my blood. It is poured out for you, and with it God makes his new agreement. The one who will betray me is here at the table with me. The Son of Man will die in the way that has been decided for him, but it will be terrible for the one who betrays him." Then the apostles started arguing about who would ever do such a thing. An argument about greatness. The apostles got into an argument about which one of them was the greatest. So Jesus told them, "Foreign kings order their people around, and powerful rulers call themselves everyone's friends. But don't be like them. The most important one of you should be like the least important, and your leader should be like a servant. Who do people think is the greatest, a person who is served or one who serves? Isn't it the one who is served? But I have been with you as a servant. You have stayed with me in all my troubles, so I will give you the right to rule as kings, just as my Father has given me the right to rule as a king. You will eat and drink with me in my kingdom, and you will each sit on a throne to judge the 12 tribes of Israel." Jesus' disciples will be tested. Jesus said, "Simon, listen to me. Satan has demanded the right to test each one of you, as a farmer does when he separates wheat from the husks. But Simon, I have prayed that your faith will be strong, and when you have come back to me, help the others." Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to jail, and even to die with you." Jesus replied, "Peter, I tell you that before a rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will say 3 times that you don't know me." Money bags, traveling bags, and swords. Jesus asked his disciples, "When I sent you out without a money bag or a traveling bag or sandals, did you need anything?" "No," they answered. Jesus told them, "But now, if you have a money bag, take it with you. Also take a traveling bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell some of your clothes and buy one. Do this because the scriptures say, 'He was considered a criminal.' This was written about me, and it will soon come true." The disciples said, "Lord, here are 2 swords. "Enough of that," Jesus replied. Jesus prays. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, as he often did, and his disciples went with him. When they got there, he told them, "Pray that you won't be tested." Jesus walked on a little way before he knelt down and prayed. "Father, if you will, please don't make me suffer by having me drink from this cup.
But do what you want, and not what I want."
Then an angel from heaven came to help him. Jesus was in great pain and prayed so sincerely that his sweat fell to the ground like drops of blood. Jesus got up from praying and went over to his disciples. They were asleep and worn out from being so sad. He said to them, "Why are you asleep? Wake up and pray that you won't be tested." Jesus is arrested. While Jesus was still speaking, a crowd came up. It was led by Judas, one of the 12 apostles. He went over to Jesus and greeted him with a kiss. Jesus asked Judas, "Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' disciples saw what was about to happen, they asked, "Lord, should we attack them with a sword?" One of the disciples even struck at the high priest's servant with his sword and cut off the servant's right ear. "Enough of that," Jesus said. Then he touched the servant's ear and healed it. Jesus spoke to the chief priests, the temple police, and the leaders who had come to arrest him. he said. Why do you come out with swords and clubs and treat me like a criminal? I was with you every day in the temple and you didn't arrest me. But this is your time, and darkness is in control.
Peter says he doesn't know Jesus. Jesus was arrested and led away to the house of the high priest, while Peter followed at a distance. Some people built a fire in the middle of the courtyard and were sitting around it. Peter sat there with them, and a servant girl saw him. Then, after she had looked at him carefully, she said, "This man was with Jesus." Peter said, "Woman, I don't even know that man." A little later, someone else saw Peter and said, "You are one of them." "No, I'm not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another man insisted, "This man must have been with Jesus. They both come from Galilee." Peter replied, "I don't know what you are talking about." Right then, while Peter was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered that the Lord had said, "Before a rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will say 3 times that you don't know me." Then Peter went out and cried hard. The men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him and beat him. They put a blindfold on him and said, "Tell us who struck you." They kept on insulting Jesus in many other ways. Jesus is questioned by the council. At daybreak, the nation's leaders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law of Moses got together and brought Jesus before their council. They said, "Tell us, are you the Messiah?" Jesus replied, "If I said so, you wouldn't believe me. And if I ask you a question, you wouldn't answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right side of God, all-powerful." Then they asked, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus answered, "You say I am." They replied, "Why do we need more witnesses? He said it himself." Pilate questions Jesus. Chapter 23. Everyone in the council got up and led Jesus off to Pilate. They started accusing him and said, "We caught this man trying to get our people to riot and to stop paying taxes to the emperor. He also claims that he is the Messiah, our king." Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Those are your words," Jesus answered. Pilate told the chief priests and the crowd, "I don't find him guilty of anything." But they all kept on saying, "He has been teaching and causing trouble all over Judea. He started in Galilee and has now come all the way here." Jesus is brought before Herod. When Pilate heard this, he asked, "Is this man from Galilee?" After Pilate learned that Jesus came from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. For a long time, Herod had wanted to see Jesus, and was very happy because he finally had this chance. He had heard many things about Jesus, and hoped to see him work a miracle. Herod asked him a lot of questions, but Jesus did not answer. Then the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses stood up and accused him of all kinds of bad things. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and insulted him. They put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends, even though they had been enemies before this. The death sentence. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people. He told them, "You brought Jesus to me and said he was a troublemaker. But I have questioned him here in front of you, and I have not found him guilty of anything that you say he has done." Herod didn't find him guilty either, and sent him back. This man doesn't deserve to be put to death. I will just have him beaten with a whip and set free."
But the whole crowd shouted, "Kill Jesus! Give us Barabbas!" Now Barabbas was in jail because he had started a riot in the city and had murdered someone. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, so he spoke again to the crowds. But they kept shouting, "Nail him to a cross! Nail him to a cross!" Pilate spoke to them a third time. "But what crime has he done? I have not found him guilty of anything for which he should be put to death. I will have him beaten with a whip and set free." The people kept on shouting as loud as they could for Jesus to be put to death. Finally, Pilate gave in. He freed the man who was in jail for rioting and murder because he was the one the crowd wanted to be set free. Then Pilate handed Jesus over for them to do what they wanted with him. Jesus is nailed to a cross. As Jesus was being led away, some soldiers grabbed hold of a man from Cyrene named Simon. He was coming in from the fields, but they put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large crowd was following Jesus, and in the crowd a lot of women were crying and weeping for him. Jesus turned to the women and said, "Women of Jerusalem, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves and for your children. Someday people will say, 'Women who never had children are really fortunate.' At that time everyone will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us.' They will say to the hills, 'Hide us.' If this can happen when the wood is green, what do you think will happen when it is dry?" Two criminals were led out to be put to death with Jesus. When the soldiers came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Jesus to a cross. They also nailed the two criminals to crosses, one on each side of Jesus. Jesus said, "Father, forgive these people. They don't know what they're doing." While the crowd stood there watching Jesus, the soldiers gambled for his clothes. The leaders insulted him by saying, "He saved others. Now he should save himself, if he really is God's chosen Messiah." The soldiers made fun of Jesus and brought him some wine. They said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him was a sign that said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there also insulted Jesus by saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and save us." But the other criminal told the first one off, "Don't you fear God? Aren't you getting the same punishment as this man? We got what was coming to us, but he didn't do anything wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into power." Jesus replied, "I promise that today you will be with me in paradise." The death of Jesus. Around noon, the sky turned dark and stayed that way until the middle of the afternoon. The sun stopped shining, and the curtain in the temple split down the middle. Jesus shouted, "Father, I put myself in your hands." Then he died. When the Roman officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Jesus must really have been a good man." A crowd had gathered to see the terrible sight. Then after they had seen it, they felt brokenhearted and went home. All of Jesus' close friends and the women who had come with him from Galilee stood at a distance and watched. Jesus is buried. There was a man named Joseph who was from Arimathea in Judea. Joseph was a good and honest man, and he was eager for God's kingdom to come. He was also a member of the council, but he did not agree with what they had decided.
Joseph went to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. He took the body down from the cross and wrapped it in fine cloth. Then he put it in a tomb that had been cut out of solid rock and had never been used. It was Friday, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and watched how Jesus' body was placed in the tomb. Then they went to prepare some sweet-smelling spices for his burial. But on the Sabbath they rested, as the law of Moses commands. Jesus is alive. Chapter 24. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, carrying the spices they had prepared. When they found the stone rolled away from the entrance, they went in. But they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus, and they did not know what to think. Suddenly, two men in shining white clothes stood beside them. The women were afraid and bowed to the ground, but the men said, "Why are you looking in the place of the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus isn't here. He has been raised from death. Remember that while he was still in Galilee, he told you, 'The Son of Man will be handed over to sinners who will nail him to a cross. But 3 days later he will rise to life.'" Then they remembered what Jesus had said. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women were the ones who had gone to the tomb. When they returned, they told the 11 apostles and the others what had happened. The apostles thought it was all nonsense, and they would not believe. But Peter ran to the tomb. And when he stooped down and looked in, he saw only the burial clothes. Then he returned, wondering what had happened. Jesus appears to two disciples. That same day, two of Jesus' disciples were going to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they were talking and thinking about what had happened, Jesus came near and started walking along beside them. But they did not know who he was. Jesus asked them, "What were you talking about as you walked along?" The two of them stood there looking sad and gloomy. Then the one named Cleopas asked Jesus, "Are you the only person from Jerusalem who didn't know what was happening there these last few days?" "What do you mean?" Jesus asked. They answered, "Those things that happened to Jesus from Nazareth. By what he did and said, he showed that he was a powerful prophet who pleased God and all the people. Then the chief priests and our leaders had him arrested and sentenced to die on a cross. We had hoped that he would be the one to set Israel free, but it has already been 3 days since all this happened." Some women in our group surprised us. They had gone to the tomb early in the morning but did not find the body of Jesus. They came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who told them that he is alive. Some men from our group went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus either. Then Jesus asked the two disciples, "Why can't you understand? How can you be so slow to believe all that the prophet said? Didn't you know that the Messiah would have to suffer before he was given his glory?" Jesus then explained everything written about himself in the scriptures, beginning with the law of Moses and the books of the prophets. When the two of them came near the village where they were going, Jesus seemed to be going farther. They begged him, "Stay with us. It's already late and the sun is going down." So Jesus went into the house to stay with them. After Jesus sat down to eat, he took some bread. He blessed it and broke it. Then he gave it to them. At once, they knew who he was, but he disappeared. They said to each other, "When he talked with us along the road and explained the scriptures to us, didn't it warm our hearts?" So they got right up and returned to Jerusalem. The two disciples found the 11 apostles and the others gathered together. and they learned from the group that the Lord was really alive and had appeared to Peter. Then the disciples from Emmaus told what happened on the road and how they knew he was the Lord when he broke the bread. What Jesus' followers must do. While Jesus' disciples were talking about what had happened, Jesus appeared and greeted them. They were frightened and terrified because they thought they were seeing a ghost. But Jesus said, "Why are you so frightened? Why do you doubt? Look at my hands and my feet and see who I am. Touch me and find out for yourselves. Ghosts don't have flesh and bones as you see I have." After Jesus said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. The disciples were so glad and amazed that they could not believe it. Jesus then asked them, "Do you have something to eat?" They gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it as they watched. Jesus said to them, "While I was still with you, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the books of the prophets, and in the Psalms had to happen." Then he helped them understand the scriptures. He told them, "The scriptures say that the Messiah must suffer, then 3 days later he will rise from death. They also say that all people of every nation must be told in my name to turn to God in order to be forgiven. So, beginning in Jerusalem, you must tell everything that has happened. I will send you the one my Father has promised, but you must stay in the city until you are given power from heaven." Jesus returns to heaven. Jesus led his disciples out to Bethany, where he raised his hands and blessed them. As he was doing this, he left and was taken up to heaven. After his disciples had worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem and were very happy. They spent their time in the temple, praising God.
You have been listening to The Holy Bible, The Gospel of Luke, narrated by Peter J. Fernandez. The Gospel of John, narrated by Ed Sala.
John. About this book. Who is Jesus Christ? John answers this question in the first chapter of his gospel. Using the words of an early Christian hymn, he calls Jesus the Word, by which God created everything, and by which he gave life to everyone. He shows how John the Baptist announced Jesus' coming. "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." When Philip met Jesus, he knew Jesus was the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. And in the words of Nathanael, Jesus is the Son of God and the King of Israel. In John's Gospel, we learn a lot about who Jesus is by observing what he said and did when he was with other people. These include a Samaritan woman who received Jesus' offer of life-giving water, a woman who had been caught in sin, his friend Lazarus, who was brought back to life by Jesus, and his follower Thomas, who doubted that Jesus was raised from death. Jesus also refers to himself as "I am," a phrase which translates the most holy name for God in the Hebrew Scriptures. He uses this name for himself when he makes his claim to be the life-giving bread, the light of the world, the good shepherd, and the true vine. Jesus performed 7 miracles that are more than miracles. Each of them is a sign that tells us something about Jesus as the Son of God. For example, by healing a lame man, Jesus shows that he is just like his Father, who never stops working. This sign also teaches that the Son does only what he sees his Father doing, and that like the Father, the Son gives life to anyone he wants to. The way John tells the story of Jesus is quite different from the other three Gospels. Here Jesus has long conversations with people about who he is and what God sent him to do. In these conversations, he teaches many important things. For example, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The Word of Life, Chapter 1. In the beginning was the one who is called the Word. The Word was with God and was truly God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. And with this Word, God created all things. Nothing was made without the Word. Everything that was created received its life from Him, and His life gave light to everyone. The light keeps shining in the dark, and darkness has never put it out. God sent a man named John, who came to tell about the light and to lead all people to have faith. John wasn't that light. He came only to tell about the light. The true light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. The Word was in the world, but no one knew Him, though God had made the world with His Word. He came into His own world, but His own nation did not welcome Him. Yet some people accepted Him and put their faith in Him. So He gave them the right to be the children of God. They were not God's children by nature or because of any human desires. God Himself was the one who made them His children. The Word became a human being and lived here with us. He saw His true glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. From Him all the kindness and all the truth of God have come down to us. John spoke about Him and shouted, "This is the one I told you would come. He is greater than I am, because He was alive before I was born. Because of all that the Son is, we have been given one blessing after another. The law was given by Moses, but Jesus Christ brought us undeserved kindness and truth. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is truly God and is closest to the Father, has shown us what God is like." John the Baptist tells about Jesus. The Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and temple helpers to ask John who he was. He told them plainly, "I am not the Messiah." Then when they asked him if he were Elijah, he said, "No, I am not." And when they asked if he were the prophet, he also said no. Finally, they said, "Who are you then? We have to give an answer to the ones who sent us. Tell us who you are." John answered in the words of the prophet Isaiah, "I am only someone shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord.'" Some Pharisees had also been sent to John. They asked him, "Why are you baptizing people if you are not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John told them, "I use water to baptize people. But here with you is someone you don't know. Even though I came first, I am not good enough to untie his sandals." John said this as he was baptizing east of the Jordan River in Bethany. The Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about when I said, 'Someone else will come.' He is greater than I am because he was alive before I was born. I didn't know who he was. But I came to baptize you with water so that everyone in Israel would see him. I was there and saw the Spirit come down on him like a dove from heaven, and the Spirit stayed on him. Before this, I didn't know who he was. But the one who sent me to baptize with water had told me, "You will see the Spirit come down and stay on someone. Then you will know that he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." I saw this happen, and I tell you that he is the Son of God. The first disciples of Jesus. The next day John was there again, and two of his followers were with him. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Here is the Lamb of God." John's two followers heard him, and they went with Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them, he asked, "What do you want?" They answered, "Rabbi, where do you live?" The Hebrew word rabbi means teacher. Jesus replied, "Come and see." It was already about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him and saw where he lived, so they stayed on for the rest of the day. One of the two men who had heard John and had gone with Jesus was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." The Hebrew word Messiah means the same as the Greek word Christ. Andrew brought his brother to Jesus, and when Jesus saw him, he said, "Simon, son of John, you will be called Cephas." This name can be translated as Peter. Jesus chooses Philip and Nathanael. The next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. There he met Philip, who was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Jesus said to Philip, "Come with me." Philip then found Nathanael and said, "We have found the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. He is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael asked, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip answered, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said, "Here is a true descendant of our ancestor Israel, and he isn't deceitful." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God and the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Did you believe me just because I said that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see something even greater. I tell you for certain that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up and coming down on the Son of Man." Jesus at a wedding in Cana. Chapter 2. 3 days later, Mary, the mother of Jesus, was at a wedding feast in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited and were there. When the wine was all gone, Mary said to Jesus, "They don't have any more wine." Jesus replied, "Mother, my time hasn't yet come. You must not tell me what to do." Mary then said to the servants, "Do whatever Jesus tells you to do." At the feast there were 6 stone water jars that were used by the people for washing themselves in the way that their religion said they must. Each jar held about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants to fill them to the top with water. Then after the jars had been filled, he said, "Now take some water and give it to the man in charge of the feast." The servants did as Jesus told them, and the man in charge drank some of the water that had now turned into wine. He didn't know where the wine had come from, but the servants did. He called the bridegroom over and said, "The best wine is always served first. Then after the guests have had plenty, the other wine is served, but you have kept the best until last." This was Jesus' first miracle, and he did it in the village of Cana in Galilee. There Jesus showed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. After this, he went with his mother, his brothers, and his disciples to the town of Capernaum, where they stayed for a few days. Jesus in the temple. Not long before the Jewish festival of Passover, Jesus went to Jerusalem. There he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves in the temple. He also saw money changers sitting at their tables. So he took some rope and made a whip. Then he chased everyone out of the temple, together with their sheep and cattle. He turned over the tables of the money changers and scattered their coins. Jesus said to the people who had been selling doves, "Get those doves out of here. Don't make my Father's house a marketplace." The disciples then remembered that the scriptures say, "My love for your house burns in me like a fire." The Jewish leaders asked Jesus, "What miracle will you work to show us why you have done this?" "Destroy this temple," Jesus answered, "and in 3 days I will build it again." The leaders replied, "It took 46 years to build this temple. What makes you think you can rebuild it in 3 days?" But Jesus was talking about his body as a temple. And when he was raised from death, his disciples remembered what he had told them. Then they believed the scriptures and the words of Jesus. Jesus knows what people are like. In Jerusalem during Passover, many people put their faith in Jesus because they saw him work miracles. But Jesus knew what was in their hearts, and he would not let them have power over him. No one had to tell him what people were like. He already knew. Jesus and Nicodemus. Chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee and a Jewish leader. One night he went to Jesus and said, "Sir, we know that God has sent you to teach us. You could not work these miracles unless God were with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you for certain that you must be born from above before you can see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How can a grown man ever be born a second time?" Jesus answered, "I tell you for certain that before you can get into God's kingdom, you must be born not only by water, but by the Spirit. Humans give life to their children, yet only God's Spirit can change you into a child of God. Don't be surprised when I say that you must be born from above. Only God's Spirit gives new life. The Spirit is like the wind that blows wherever it wants to. You can hear the wind, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "How can you be a teacher of Israel and not know these things? I tell you for certain that we know what we are talking about because we have seen it ourselves. But none of you will accept what we say. If you don't believe when I talk to you about things on earth, how can you possibly believe if I talk to you about things in heaven? No one has gone up to heaven except the Son of Man, who came down from there. And the Son of Man must be lifted up, just as that metal snake was lifted up by Moses in the desert. Then everyone who has faith in the Son of Man will have eternal life. God loved the people of this world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who has faith in him will have eternal life and never really die. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn its people. He sent him to save them. No one who has faith in God's Son will be condemned, but everyone who doesn't have faith in him has already been condemned for not having faith in God's only Son. The light has come into the world, and people who do evil things are judged guilty because they love the dark more than the light. People who do evil hate the light and won't come to the light because it clearly shows what they have done. But everyone who lives by the truth will come to the light because they want others to know that God is really the one doing what they do." Jesus and John the Baptist. Later, Jesus and his disciples went to Judea, where he stayed with them for a while and was baptizing people. John had not yet been put in jail. He was at Enon near Salem, where there was a lot of water and people were coming there for John to baptize them. John's followers got into an argument with a Jewish man about a ceremony of washing. They went to John and said, "Rabbi, you spoke about a man when you were with him east of the Jordan. He is now baptizing people, and everyone is going to him." John replied, "No one can do anything unless God in heaven allows it. You surely remember how I told you that I am not the Messiah. I am only the one sent ahead of him. At a wedding, the groom is the one who gets married. The best man is glad just to be there and to hear the groom's voice. That's why I am so glad. Jesus must become more important while I become less important." The One Who Comes from Heaven. God's Son comes from heaven and is above all others. Everyone who comes from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks about earthly things. The one who comes from heaven is above all others. He speaks about what he has seen and heard, and yet no one believes him. But everyone who does believe him has shown that God is truthful. The Son was sent to speak God's message, and he has been given the full power of God's Spirit. The Father loves the Son and has given him everything. Everyone who has faith in the Son has eternal life, but no one who rejects him will ever share in that life, and God will be angry with them forever. Chapter 4. Jesus knew that the Pharisees had heard that he was winning and baptizing more followers than John was. But Jesus' disciples were really the ones doing the baptizing, and not Jesus himself. Jesus and the Samaritan Woman. Jesus left Judea and started for Galilee again. This time he had to go through Samaria, and on his way he came to the town of Sychar. It was near the field that Jacob had long ago given to his son Joseph. The well that Jacob had dug was still there, and Jesus sat down beside it because he was tired from traveling. It was noon, and after Jesus' disciples had gone into town to buy some food, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. Jesus asked her, "Would you please give me a drink of water?" "You are a Jew," she replied, "and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink of water when Jews and Samaritans won't have anything to do with each other?" Jesus answered, "You don't know what God wants to give you, and you don't know who is asking you for a drink. If you did, you would ask me for the water that gives life." "Sir," the woman said, "you don't even have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this life-giving water? Our ancestor Jacob dug this well for us, and his family and animals got water from it. Are you greater than Jacob?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again, but no one who drinks the water I give will ever be thirsty again. The water I give is like a flowing fountain that gives eternal life." The woman replied, "Sir, please give me a drink of that water, that I won't get thirsty and have to come to this well again." Jesus told her, "Go and bring your husband." The woman answered, "I don't have a husband." "That's right," Jesus replied. "You're telling the truth. You don't have a husband. You have already been married 5 times, and the man you are now living with isn't your husband." The woman said, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. My ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say Jerusalem is the only place to worship." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, the time is coming when you won't worship the Father either on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans don't really know the one you worship, but we Jews do know the God we worship, and by using us, God will save the world. but a time is coming, and it is already here. Even now the true worshipers are being led by the Spirit to worship the Father according to the truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship Him. God is Spirit, and those who worship God must be led by the Spirit to worship Him according to the truth. The woman said, I know that the Messiah will come. He is the one we call Christ. When He comes, He will explain everything to us. I am that one, Jesus told her, and I am speaking to you now. The disciples returned about this time and were surprised to find Jesus talking with a woman, but none of them asked Him what He wanted or why He was talking with her. The woman left her water jar and ran back into town. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. Could he be the Messiah? Everyone in town went out to see Jesus. While this was happening, Jesus' disciples were saying to Him, Teacher, please eat something. But Jesus told them, I have food that you don't know anything about. His disciples started asking each other, Has someone brought Him something to eat? Jesus said, My food is to do what God wants. He is the one who sent me, and I must finish the work that He gave me to do. You may say that there are still 4 months until harvest time, but I tell you to look, and you will see that the fields are ripe and ready to harvest. Even now the harvest workers are receiving their reward by gathering a harvest that brings eternal life. Then everyone who planted the seed and everyone who harvests the crop will celebrate together. So the saying proves true. Some plant the seed, and others harvest the crop. I am sending you to harvest crops in fields where others have done all the hard work.